Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I always say this because it's really, really true. I always try as a sports fan to talk myself into why miracles can happen. And I'll never forget it. Sorry, Boomer. I'm going to make a Nets reference. Deal with it. When they were 8-18, I tried to convince myself that they could go on a run. And they did. They made the playoffs and life is good. But I've done that many, many times at the teams I root for, where you try to convince yourself that as bleak as things look, even though your brain tells you they're dead, they're not going anywhere, it's sports. And part of what makes sports amazing is that you never know. 2016 was a real surprise. The Mets were a, quote, dumpster fire. And then they got hot. And they were helped out by the fact the National League was very mediocre, and they were able to be wild card team number one and at least get to the postseason despite having a myriad of injuries. So I will go into every game until it's, you know, definitely over. You know, you're mathematically eliminated. And you try to convince yourself that things can happen. So as the Mets jumped out to an early 2-0 lead last night in Minnesota, and certainly they were helped out by the shoddy Twins defense, whether it was Jonathan Scope rushing on a Wilson Ramos grounder or Jason Castro behind the plate doing an imitation of basically every Met catcher for the last 10 years defensively, not knowing how to catch the ball behind home plate. And even after the Mets gave up that lead and retook it because Michael Conforto became Tony Gwynn last night, I'm thinking, you know, you win this game, you got a winning streak, the National League is so bad, you never know. And the bullpen has to come in the fifth inning, which is not a surprise. You knew, based on what Gary Cohen said on the broadcast, that Steven Matz was not going to have a high pitch count. Now, I thought he'd throw more than 67 pitches, but whatever. You know, Mickey probably made the right choice. Steven Matz wasn't exactly blowing people away. And remember, that inning in the fourth inning ended on a caught stealing. So it wasn't exactly him doing anything to get out of that inning, and Minnesota looked like they were on the precipice of taking the lead. Robert Gazelman is shaky as all hell. And just shaky. And he gets lucky because Marwin Gonzalez lines into a double play. And then finally, thank the Lord, the baseball Lord, Mickey Callaway says, I'm going to get Bob Gazelman out of the game because he stinks. And he goes to Luis Avalon, who shockingly gets a big out. And then Avalon pitches well, but walks Miguel Sano. Here come Minnesota again. And then he goes to J. Riz Familia, thinking it's a good idea to go to the horribleness of J. Riz Familia. But guess what? Familia got a big out. And then Mickey brilliantly. Are you hearing these words I'm using to describe Mickey Callaway? Because I'm serious. He managed a great game last night. Not just because the guys got the job done, but he never rode with guys too long. The old Mickey Callaway, oh, Familia got an out? Oh, I'm keeping him in. Let's see if we can get eight outs out of him. And instead he goes to Justin Wilson, who pitched fine. And then he goes to Seth Lugo, who's fine. And now it's the ninth inning. It's 3-2. The Mets have blown every opportunity to score runs. I mean, how about the eighth inning? How about that cluster you-know-what? Robinson Cano, it's a ground ball to the mound, and it turns into a double play? They get one guy in a rundown. Then Pete Alonso stops running, and they get him at the— I'm thinking, are you kidding me? The Mets can't afford to be just giving outs like that. They need more runs. The bullpen's not going to just be able to shut the door against a Minnesota Twin team that averages 5.5 runs a game, that's hit 170-plus home runs. When Edwin Diaz came into the game in the ninth inning, I tweeted very calmly, don't blow this, please. Because I just spent the last 2.5 hours envisioning this miraculous run the Mets are about to go on. And if they lose this game, my stomach can't take another one of these. We've had too much of this. Too much of these blown games. Games that you think they're going to win, and then they just disappear into thin air. And I was never confident. I was joking before with Jerry. You think I was confident? What are you, nuts? Even when he strikes out Sano, even when it's 0-2 on Jonathan Scope, and he's got to come out of the game because he's hurt, and now You've got this kid, Luis. How do you pronounce it correctly, Ernie? Because I think he's on your fantasy team. Arias. And he's been great. Speedster, good contact hitter. I know you're very high on him.
I found him.
You found him. He discovered him, Ernie did. So, and he's probably not playing last night because Steven Matz is on the mound. But you put this kid in an 0-2 hole against Edwin Diaz. I thought to myself at this moment, this is the game. Because if Edwin Diaz gets him out, he's ahead 0-2, he should get him out. All right, two outs, nobody on. Mitch Garver's coming up. All right, I'm feeling okay. I'm not feeling great, but I'm feeling okay. But if, God forbid, you let this kid get on base after being ahead 0-2, and he's basically sent up, with zero margin for error, this thing is going to go haywire. And he walked him. And he did a great job. He fouled a couple of pitches off. Edwin Diaz couldn't put him away, and now they have a base runner. And then Garver lines a base hit, and now there's two men on base. I mean, didn't we all think, here we go. Here we go. At least I got to enjoy an hour and a half of thinking, dreaming the Mets are going to get back into it. And he stunningly got Jorge Polanco out, who's had a great season. And then Marwin Gonzalez, he's ahead 0-2 and hits this little nubber. And remember, what's weird about this, remember how in the Yankee game, Aaron Judge hit a foul home run, and then a pitch later hits a real home run? Marwin Gonzalez hit the same kind of ball that turned out to be an infield hit, I think one pitch earlier, except it rolled foul. So I had already envisioned Marwin Gonzalez with a two-strike count hitting a weak ground ball to third base and beating it out. But it went foul. Oh, okay, great. All right, went foul. Whew, okay. Then he does it for real. And now it's Nelson Cruz. Did anybody in their right mind, especially when it gets to 3-2, did you in your right mind think Nelson Cruz was not going to hit a grand slam home run? Forget base hit up the alley. Grand slam home run. And yes, Edwin almost hit him earlier in the at-bat, which really would have been torturous because it would have tied the game. So then it would have just been a debate of, are they going to lose it right here? Or are they going to lose it in 10, 11, 12, 30? When are they going to lose it? And considering Mickey had used his entire bullpen, which I'm not even blaming him for, I think he had to last night. Oh, that would have been brutal. And somehow, by the grace of the baseball gods, Edwin Diaz got Nelson Cruz to pop up. And, of course, Todd Frazier, because he's clowning all of us, does that stupid basket catch. Imagine if that ball would have popped out. So I was very enthused after the Mets won this baseball game. I was enthused for my mental state. I was enthused for the idea that they have won three in a row. I quickly looked at the standings again and reminded myself that while the National League is incredibly mediocre and while the amount of games they trail the two wildcard teams is not that much, the problem is every team in the National League outside of Miami is still ahead of them. So that's why after 5 or 10 minutes, my enjoyment of the win turned to, what the hell does it mean? It did turn into that. What the hell does it mean? Because the Cincinnati Reds, the San Diego Padres, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the San Francisco Giants, the Colorado Rockies, the Arizona Diamondbacks, the St. Louis Cardinals, the Milwaukee Brewers, and then take your pick, the Nationals or Phillies, would all be teams the Mets would have to surpass to make the postseason. I just named every freaking team, basically, in this league outside of Miami. So realistically, are the Mets going to get to a pennant race? No. Realistically, are they even good enough to get in a pennant race to go win 10 out of 12, 18 out of 22? Probably not. But at least for one night against a very good baseball team, against a Minnesota team that has scored a ton of runs, they've pitched well, they're a good team. The Mets were able to sneak out a victory and change, at least for a night, the narrative that has defined their season, which has been a god-awful bullpen. And it was, on a night where John Sterling wasn't working, such a that's baseball moment. I mean, think about it. The Mets have a garbage bullpen. It has derailed their entire season. They go to the bullpen up 3-2 in the bottom of the fifth inning against the best offense in baseball on the road. That's the sequence that was set up. 3-2, one-run lead. They're not going to score another run in this game. So you've got a one-run lead, and you now have to go get 15 outs from that bullpen against the best offense in Major League Baseball. And they did it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's a part of why I love this freaking sport. That Bob Gesellman, who was the worst of the bunch, Luis Avalon, J. Riz Familia, Justin Wilson, Seth Lugo, and Edwin Diaz all combined to get the 15 outs necessary to win the damn baseball game. So as I sit here today, do I think the Mets are about to go on a run? No. They're 8 games under 500. There's 57 teams ahead of them. The 5.5 game mark is misleading. 5 in the loss column. 5 in the loss column. 5 in the loss column. It's misleading because you have to jump everybody. Hey, they got the Giants coming up after Minnesota. That's one of the teams ahead of you. You better just go beat them. But at least for our mental state, for those who are Met fans, at least it was a good night. At least it was a positive night. And for those who don't want Zach Wheeler traded, the injury is probably the best thing that could have happened because I don't know if the value of what they can get back is going to be enough for Brody Van Wagenen to pull the trigger.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.